Morning, everyone. I was preaching at my school the other night. I'm taking this course in preaching, and so I preached. And I couldn't help feeling afterwards something that I didn't really expect, but I had more of an appreciation of our church here and for each one of you. And there I was telling them that it was about three or four guys in one class. That's all. And they were all these students in my school. And, of course, I tried my best to prepare for them, but I didn't know them. And when I came back here today and I started thinking about all of you, I felt like I was home, and I felt that I belonged here, and I felt that I enjoy speaking to you because I know you, and I think of you as being my family. So let's pray for a moment together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church, and I thank you, Father, for each one who is here today. Everyone here today, Lord, is here because you wanted them to be here. And I know, Lord, that this past week I've had struggles in my life that I didn't anticipate, you know that I lost my voice yesterday because of the allergies and things like that, but I think it's more Satan trying to get at me, Lord, and trying to prevent me from feeling at ease here speaking your word. And so I want to lift up your word and have you bless it. I want you to, Lord, speak to us today powerfully, that Satan would be destroyed, that his power would be meaningless here, and that only the words that you want to be spoken would be heard. Thank you that you are a great God and you are greater than any force that is in this universe, and that you brought us here for a purpose today. To thine be the glory. Amen. You probably know the story in John, in chapter 12, where Jesus is getting together with some people to get to eat. And actually, it was the scene where Lazarus came back from the dead. And we heard that in the sermon from Pastor Lowe the other day about Lazarus being risen from the dead. You know, Jesus came and he saved him. And Lazarus was there. You know, he was meeting with Jesus in Bethany. And Mary was there. And I wanted to just mention something to you I felt that God was putting on my heart for us to think about. We're talking about how precious Jesus is. And the scene unfolds, and she takes this oil, a pint of it, of this very costly oil, and she just runs over to Jesus, and she pours it over his feet, and she starts to wash his feet. And that just, to me, was just an amazing sign of her respect and love for Jesus, that she would take something like that, so costly, and just pour it all over his feet like that. And you know, the Bible says that Judas spoke up, and I can imagine he said something like, "What are you doing? What are you doing, you stupid girl? What are you doing? You just ruined all of this beautiful perfume that we could have sold for the good of all the poor." And the Bible says that he actually wasn't interested in the poor at all. He was interested in the money that could have been taken, because he used to steal the money out that they assembled in the church to go out to go to the poor. So he was really actually more interested in himself and the money that he saw poured out on the feet of Jesus at that moment. But she had it. She got it. Mary got it. She had her act together. She knew who Jesus was. And Judas didn't know who he was. You know, and that should be the reaction that we have too when we think about Jesus. It should be, "Lord, whatever I have right now, it's yours." And to be with Jesus at that moment, to have her example, that she just poured all that money that Judas was missing out on him, because she was thinking, "He's God. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord. He's the one who deserves all of this." And Jesus saw a deeper meaning in that. But I just wanted to mention that to you to know that this precious oil was what she wanted to give Jesus, because he was precious to her. Think about that as we take a look at the scripture today in 1 Peter. I think you probably know by looking at that sign that our theme is from Living Stones into a Spiritual House. And I was actually waiting for a while to speak about this theme because we were finishing up in 1 John. But I want to begin today to take a look at what the meaning of the theme is for us. I also want to let you know that these themes for our church are not merely words. Uncle Jonathan has fittingly said that today. These are not mere words. This is the Word of God. And it was spoken to our pastor, who is the spiritual leader of this church. If you want to verify that, all you need to do is look at the bylaws. It says so right there. But more importantly, God knows that. And He provided us with this word from God. I was visiting a friend of mine who is a preacher in Montclair, New Jersey. And I was kind of picking his ear a little bit to see what being a preacher is like. You know, and I was asking him different questions. And he told me that people are not interested in what you know. As a preacher, they're not interested in what you know, and they're not interested in your experiences. They're not interested in you at all. And I was sitting there going, yes, preach, brother. And he said, what they're interested in is the Word of God. And I would say amen to that, would you? Amen. And, you know, I'm fine with that. Because God is the most important thing to us here. And we need to listen to what He has to say. And if this is the theme for our church, then we need to listen to it. We need to get out our Bibles and we need to take a look at it. And we need to pay attention. That means we need to pay attention every time we come into this house to what God is going to say to us. We can't come here as though it were any other place. We need to treat it as though it is the Word of God. And the church is the Word of God. You know what I mean by that, right? It's from Him. It's what it's saying to us. And it is His body. And so we need to pay attention to it. We need to take it seriously. Just like my friend said, we need to pay attention to the Word of God. We need to listen to it. So listen up. Listen up to what the Lord has to say to us today from this word of His that came from Pastor Lowe, that was given to him by God Himself. Let's take a look at the scripture today. But I want you also to know something else before I begin to talk to you a little bit about it. That this week I was very, very excited about looking at this theme and looking at the words, the verses that we're going to read. And I did a lot of homework, and I did a lot of studying, and I was really getting into it. There's a lot of great stuff there to learn. The history of this letter, who wrote it, why it was written, what was going on in the church. There are many, many different things that we need to learn about this, and it's all going to be great. It's all going to be great stuff when we learn that. But God said to me about midday and Friday, on Friday, he said, that's not what I want you to say. And I'm telling you, that's just the way it was. I hit a wall, and I started feeling a little bit weird, and I started feeling a little bit frustrated, and I was feeling a little bit caught. And I didn't know where to go. Did you ever feel like that? You feel a little bit like something's going on? If you're a Christian, you may relate to the idea that something is going on spiritually in your life. Something is going on so that you're up against something, you're not quite really sure what it is, but something's going on. And I think, you know, it's very good advice that was given to me once, that if something is going on, then you need to pray. You need to ask, what is going on? And so God told me, and it was good. And He said, is He precious to you? Never mind the background of Peter and what was going on in the church there. Never mind the background and the historical values that are very important that I want you to share with the church and the brethren there. But is my son Jesus precious to you? And those words came out of a verse that I wasn't even paying much attention to. I wasn't paying attention to this verse. I was looking at that. And God said, it's good. And that's my word to this church, but not yet. Not yet. I want you to ask everyone, all the brothers and sisters that come together in your church, what does Jesus mean to you? Is he precious to you? Is he meaningful to you? Is he someone that is precious and meaningful and everything, or is he causing you to stumble? Is he someone now who presents you with the feeling, you know, I got to go to church today. I got to go to church today. I'm expected to go to church today. You know, when I heard Uncle Jonathan read those verses, those powerful verses of that doxology that he wrote, it gives me a feeling of, wow, that is awesome. That is, like my friend Laszlo says, rock and roll. That is rock and roll, man. That is where it's at. Praise God. Right? Amen? Take a look at it. Take a look at it. If you don't have that feeling, then maybe you need to listen to this sermon today. Okay? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's not just for Easter, everybody. It's for every day. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. Because he lives. Amen? He is precious to me. He means more to me than anything. If you can say that, then you're starting to understand what being a living stone is all about. But if you drag yourself out of bed and you come here unwillingly, then you have to consider that today and who he is. It's fine to get up. I'm saying all of this because we know each other so well. But I'm a musician. I've been an opera singer for a long time, since I was 15 years old or so. But I'll tell you what, music is absolutely meaningless unless you know who Jesus is. Music has absolutely no meaning. I know how important music is to many of us here in this church, but if you do not know Jesus Christ, and you do not know how precious he is to God, who chose him as the living stone upon which this church is built, and the church, the universal church in the world, is built, then your music has no meaning. Zero. Jesus Christ is everything. He is the one, the true God, and it is in him that we find our meaning. It is in him we find our soul's desire to praise him. And there are people here today who are not singing out because they don't know who Jesus is. They are not singing along with these things because they do not know how precious he is. And they have not felt how precious Jesus is in their hearts. And God is saying to you, the good news today is, I want to be precious to you. I want you to know who I am, so that when you stand here in front of these screens that are there and all the music worship team has prepared for us, that you have a sense of his spirit in a way that you have never felt before, that his love becomes real to you and it becomes a part of your soul and makes you feel like, sing it out! That's the way we're going. And that's where we're going with our church. It's not about how many people are going here. It's not about how cool the program is here. It's not about how many people are attending youth group, how many people are involved with us. It is about Jesus Christ. He is the living stone. And without him, there's no building that can be built. There are no living stones like us who can be built upon him, because he's not there. And if he's missing from your life, then God is saying to you, receive what my son is offering you today, and you will have eternal life. There are far too many times in our lives where we jump the gun, and especially for young people, but it's also for adults, where we feel like we gotta push, push, push. I gotta work, work, work. I gotta take care of my kids. I gotta do this for them. I gotta shoot them off to church while I stay at home or stay over there in the kitchen or stay over here in these rooms or anywhere else. And they stay away from hearing the Word of God preach. And they say, that's fine with me. And I think they think they're gonna have a church built on living stones. And God is saying, I'm sorry, but you have missed the point. You have missed the point. If you want to be a part of my church, I have to be everything to you. And it's not about your children going to church. It's about you going to church and being an example to them and showing me that you understand who I am. And if you don't understand who I am, then you are not going to be able to understand my theme. And if you think that I'm kidding, then just read it. Is he precious to you? Let me share you some verses with you from 1 Peter. Let's take a look at it. In 1 Peter 2:3, it says, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. He's talking about growth and craving, spiritual milk, things like that. But he said, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, and it's so easy for us to overlook this when we're looking at the parts where we're saying, yeah, sure, I want to do that. I want to do that spiritual milk thing. But what God was saying through this is, have you tasted my goodness? Have you tasted my goodness? In another version of this verse, it says, have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? The word grace, gracious. Have you tasted God's grace? Then we start to understand a little bit more. Okay. Peter was a disciple who surely tasted the grace of God. He was gung-ho to serve him, to follow him. He said, yeah, I want to do that. And then he denied him three times, said, I don't even know the guy. This is the person who wrote these verses that we're paying attention to today. He wrote these things down. He's the one who was called the stone. Cephas was his name, meaning rock or stone. But he denied that he knew Jesus three times. And Jesus came up to him when he came back and he said, I'm going to build my church on you. He tasted the grace of God. He was undeserving of it. He denied Jesus. He denied that he knew him. He said, I don't know the guy. Stay away from me. Jesus showed his grace and mercy and said, I forgive you. And I want not only that, but I want you to tell me what I mean to you. And he said, I love you. And then he got to work. So you need to know what the grace of God is in your life. Have you sinned in your life? Chances are you have. And you need the Lord's mercy and grace. And you need to acknowledge that in your life. You need Jesus. And then you will begin to understand how precious that is. When you understand that you are unable to live without his forgiveness, you are going to be lost. So Peter tasted the grace of the Lord. He was reinstated by the Lord despite denying him three times. You can read that in John 18. Let's take a look at another verse, 1 Peter 2:4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And let's go back to one word that stands out there. Have you come to him? As you come to him, it says, but have you come to him? Have you come to him? Or are you just standing up and singing music because you feel like you want to sing music? Or do you want to be involved with crew because you just want to do crew? Or do you want to just look for some friends? Or do you want to look for other things? Are you coming to Aileen because you just want to be in a fellowship? Or do you want to teach Sunday school just simply because you want to teach Sunday school? The question is, have you come to Him? Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Rest for what? Rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. If you are a human being that is going through this life thinking that it only exists around family, work, and pleasure, then you are on the road to death. You are going to be wearied and wearied and wearied because you will find no fulfillment there. But come to Jesus and He gives us rest. Rest for our souls, for what is inside us, what is driving us. So are you prepared to come to Jesus, the one who was rejected by men for your sake, but chosen by God as His precious one? Is He precious to you? First Peter 2:6. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." Have you trusted in Him? Have you trusted in Him? This is a quote from Isaiah 28:16. "The one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." Do you trust in Him? I was reading in Psalm 25, the verses 1 and 2. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed." It says that in Psalms. It says it all over the place. "I trust in you, Lord. Let me not be ashamed." One of the biggest problems that we as men and women have is that we do not take shame in what we have done. We do not take shame in what we have done. We watch junk on the computer. We waste our lives sinning. We talk to each other badly. We hurt people time and time again. And you know what? Because we get up the next day and we have life in our bodies and the blood is still flowing and we still can live and do what we're doing, we feel like, okay, I'm okay. I'm good. We're not ashamed of what we've done. We look the other way when we see people we have problems with or problems that we ourselves are doing, and we try not to think about them and we go on because we feel like, I'm good, I'm good, I'm still here. And then you know what happens? A person has a heart attack or something else happens to them so that they're put in this position where suddenly they're not under control anymore and they say, "I need God. God, help me. God, help me." And that's when we start to think about our souls. We're not ashamed of what we're doing. But these people that are writing these words are saying, "I lift up my soul to you, O God. I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed." They look at themselves honestly in regards to God, and they come before Him and they speak to Him and they say, "I know what I've done wrong. I want to read you one short portion of what was written in about Psalm 25. It says, "Though the poet is firmly assured of his close relationship with God, or perhaps indeed just because of that assurance, he is conscious of the fact that he cannot exist nor walk in God's ways without God's gracious help, and without His faithfulness and mercy. Just as a body is in daily want of food,
Thus the soul needs to be lifted up to God day by day in order that it may obtain from him as a gift a true insight into his ways and be instructed in them, and at the same time may also be granted strength to be obedient to his will. We understand that we can do nothing without God. Just as we eat food every day, we need to spend time with him. And then we start to understand how precious he is. That's how we understand how precious he is. The last verse that I want to talk about today in preparation for our theme is this, 1 Peter 2:7. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. You know what that's saying to me? If I want to say Jesus is precious to me, I need to believe in him. So if someone came up to you in your life today and said, what do you believe? Would you be able to tell them, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He died on the cross for me and rose again so that I might have life everlasting. You may be surprised at the reaction that you get. You may be surprised at the reaction that you get. People need to hear the word of God. John 3:16 is one of the most famous verses, but I love it because of that and the truth that's in it. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And that is the gospel. And that is what people need to hear today. And that is what we need to do if we are going to be living stones. Because without Jesus, the living stone, the true living stone, we have nothing to build ourselves upon. We must believe in him and we must tell others about it and we must seek the word of God in our lives and we must honor him by coming here and saying, this is where we want to be and it is the word of God that we want to hear and we must thirst it just like we need to have water or milk or whatever it is that we are fed every day in our lives. If you think that life consists only of helping ourselves to eat food, then you have missed the major portion of why we exist and why we were created. We are created for God's glory and for his praise, and we do it only when we seek him and trust him and come to him and believe in him. Later on in these verses, it says that the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And so those who have not received Jesus, who do not taste him or come to him or trust in him or believe in him, are stumbling because of him. They try to make it on their own. They want to do things themselves. They want to do it with their own energy. They think because they have a lot of money and power, we've seen this all over the place in the world today, that the big businesses, the CEOs, all these people are a great lesson to all of us, that those kind of things are not of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are people that are seeking their own way, and they are proud of it. And they have severely misunderstood the meaning of life. Because they are taking away from people that others have worked for and deserve, and they have saved it for themselves, and they think they're going to get away with it. And God is saying to each one of us, if you think that you can live without me, then you have misunderstood severely the meaning of life, and you are going to have to pay the price. We need to understand that there is going to be a judgment day, and we are all going to have to stand before Jesus Christ, and we are going to have to pay the price for not believing in him. And so I want to tell you all today that we have the Word of God given to us in this church, that it is we are going to be striving to understand God's Word for us. We are expected now to read it. We are expected to come here in expectancy of God speaking to us and changing our lives in a dramatic way. He is going to take each one of us as He speaks to our souls and our hearts, and He is going to build us up, and He is going to use our church, once we have come to the point of understanding and feeling that God is precious to us, He is going to use this church for His glory. And what that is going to result in is your life being transformed, and you are going to have a better sense of why you exist and why you are here on this planet. And you are going to understand what the work is that you're doing better. You are going to understand the family life that you have better. You are going to understand everything better because of Jesus Christ being precious to you. And you are also going to understand the power of the gospel in talking to other people about these things. You are going to understand the power that God has on those people who are looking for Him in life and are lost. You are going to understand that He's going to take you just like He took His disciples and spread the gospel throughout this world so that people do not die in their sin but that they live forever. Those are the things that God has in store for us. And He wants that for us. I've been going to this church for many years, and I know many different people that come to our church, and I know many people that have come and gone. And I want you to know that you mean a lot to me. But there's a distance between us. Sometimes it's age, sometimes it's other things. We go to a church that has different cultures. But I also want to let you know that I know people that go to all American churches, that there's distance between people. So I don't think it's that. But I want to say to you that I think that part of the problem of the distance is me. And I don't know where God is going with that. But I do want to let you know one thing. That He cares about you more than you could ever imagine. And He loves you more than you can ever imagine. And if we begin to look at each other in a way that is pleasing to God, and we say to one another, I'm committed to you because I love you, and we can get to that point of saying, I love you to one another because Jesus is precious to me, and you believe in Jesus, and I believe in Jesus, then I think that we're going to start off in the right direction of understanding what this theme is all about. It all comes down to Jesus and His love for you and for me that He showed on the cross, and the power that brought Him back to life and put Him in His rightful place at the right hand of God. But He has something in store for each one of us here. And I know that a lot of people here are young and they're going through different things that are going to be hard for them to talk about with others about. But if it helps any at all, I went through so many different things when I was young. And when I was reading my Bible today and reading this commentary about the Psalms, the guy was saying that when we understand who we are and who Jesus is to us, then we are very aware of who we are. We are aware of the sins that we committed when we were young. We're aware of the sins that we're committing now. And really what comes through all of that is an honesty with ourselves. And I think one of the biggest things that keeps us distant from one another is that we are feeling like nobody could understand what I'm going through. And it doesn't matter whether I understand it or not. What I'm trying to say to you is it matters that Jesus wants to know what's going on with you. He wants to know how you're hurting. He wants to know what's going on in your life and what is keeping you distant from making him precious to you. He wants to know what's going on in your life so that we can get down to the good stuff in Peter and start looking. I mean, what could be better, right? But what I'm talking about is this even better stuff that God has to give to us in 1 Peter here. But it won't go anywhere unless we're honest with ourselves and say, I need Jesus in my heart, and I need to make him first, and I need to make him precious to me. And if you ask him to do that, he'll do that. So if you want to ask Jesus into your heart today, then I would just say, Lord, come into my heart. Jesus, take away my sin and all these things that I'm wrapped up in and myself, whatever's going on in my life, and please just come into my heart. Teach me how to make you precious to me. Teach me the meaning of the sacrifice that you had to give on the cross. Teach me the meaning of the words that I'm singing so that they become powerfully real in my heart when I'm singing them. I want to praise you from my heart. I want to praise you with all that I have, Lord. I want to praise you and praise you and praise you. And I want that praise to be real. I want to give up all the things that are bothering and making me sad and feeling lost, Lord. I just want to give it to you. And I think the Lord will help us then to understand what he wants us to be as his church. Let's pray together. Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. Lord, Mary had it right when she poured all that oil on your feet. She understood. Help us to be like Mary, just pouring out everything that we have, Lord, and not being those that hold back things. Help us to pour out the oil on your feet, Lord, now, at this moment. Take our hearts, make them clean, Lord, before you, and make us strong, Lord, in desiring your word. Help us not to act in ways that are displeasing to you. Help us to dedicate ourselves, commit ourselves to serving you, Lord. Help us to understand what it takes, Lord, to be a follower of Christ, giving all we have. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work among us. Would work among us to your glory and your praise. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for giving Pastor Lowe this word for our church. And we pray, Lord, that you would teach us through it what you want us to know and help us to be confident that if we trust in you, if we trust in you, we believe in you, we come to you, Lord, we taste your grace, that we will never want to go back. And that we want to serve and praise only you for the rest of our lives, as long as we have breath. I thank you for this word that you gave to us. I pray that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.